Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios with you for the full four. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take the smartphone, the Alexa speakers, the tablet, your Swatch watch, your Blu-ray, your Commodore 64. Whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you are on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, follow us on our personal Twitter pages at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there producing the show on the other side of the glass. Day Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Let's get into with you here this evening. Let's start with Braves as they look to open up. And look, I don't want to put too much into a game or a series or things like that. But I think that was an important win for the Braves last night. That just felt like an important win. You know, they've had their struggles against the Dodgers over the last couple of years in the regular season. And obviously, you know, they're chasing the Dodgers for the best record, obviously trying to stay ahead in the division, right? And big win for them last night. Thought Elder pitched really well. And, you know, we talked about the fact that, look, he's – I'm going to tell you, we may look back in 5 years to that 2020 draft class for the Braves. And they only drafted four guys, I believe. I believe there was only four guys that they drafted in the pandemic year of 2020. But Jared Schuster, Spencer Strider, Bryce Elder. That was three of the four picks that they had. And obviously a lot can change in the life of a pitcher in the course of 5 years, right? I mean, it could be, you could have one thing that, you know, you're guaranteed, and then it could be that, you know, the next year is 180-degree opposite, right? I mean, everything can change when it comes to pitchers in Major League Baseball. But we may look back in 5 years, and I don't have all the data. I haven't gone through all of the Braves drafts in the course of time, you know, in their history. I'm sure that some of those drafts that they had where they drafted Glavine and Avery and, you know, guys like that, Justice and Gant, I mean, I'm sure that there are probably some drafts that were loaded up, you know, from the mid-late 80s that set the table for what this team would become in the 90s, right? I don't know all of that. But I do know the 2020 draft. And if you look at modern times, we may look back in 5 years and say that that was one of the better or more important drafts or best drafts that the Braves have ever had. Because, again, you know, if Schuster can get his act together and he can, you know, again, it's a long road for guys like Schuster, right? Even for Elder and guys like that. But if Schuster can become a player, we know Strider's been the best, you know, the most dominant pitcher in the National League. Bryce Elder has been outstanding for this club. He leads the league in ERA, by the way. Bryce Elder now is at 2.01. He leads the National League in ERA. Is that good? Is that good, Day-Day?
That's darn good.
Oh, okay. Just want to be sure. I want to be sure that. I mean, I know it's not
got,
Saber.
I was going to say, am I going to get a hot take out of you?
Well, I mean,
that now?
Again, I know that the sabermetric, analytical, metrosexual, statistical people, you know, maybe I know batting average doesn't count for anything anymore because a guy who hits 350 isn't very valuable, I guess. But,
no, it's about the angle that you hit.
Right,
at.
And the BAIPs and the, you know, exit velocities and all this kind of stuff. Again, you know, when I looked at, you know, 1978 and I looked at, oh, Rod Carew's hitting 380. Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, in 1980, George Brett hit 390, hit 24 homers and drove in 118 runs. Gee, that was pretty good, huh? Oh, it won him the MVP? Oh, okay. So I know that that's not sexy anymore. So I don't know if ERA is one of those things that's looked at as sexy anymore. I'm sure it's probably, you know, some other kind of, you know, FIP war, you know, whatever kind of stat that they have in the world of, you know, again, sapometric, analytical, metrosexual types of numbers that that are out there. So leading the league in ERA still seems to be a pretty good stat. But Elder's been really good so far. But we may look back at this 2020 draft in 5 years and say, wow, that was a really good draft, right? And they've drafted so many guys over this last 19, 20, 21 years that have provided a lot of, you know, they've provided a lot of value to what this major league club is. And you think about, you know, I know not everybody's Bryce Harper, right? Like, not everybody is Strasburg and Harper where they come up immediately and make an impact and all this kind of stuff. I mean, think about Josh Hamilton, who was drafted number one overall by the Tampa Bay Rays. And I think that, I want to say that was the early 2000s when he was drafted. Think about how long it took him to make an impact, and then it wasn't even for the Tampa Bay Rays. It was for the Texas Rangers when he won the MVP of the league, right? Ron Washington, manager for that club. So, again, it's not normal to just come up and by the way, too, you know what they didn't have in, like, 2020? They didn't have any minor league baseball. Remember, the pandemic shut all of that down. I don't even remember if they played a full schedule in 21 or not, but the pandemic shut all of that down. So the fact that the Braves have been able to bring guys up and develop them as quickly as they have, it certainly speaks a lot. I mean, I've talked about this before. It speaks a lot about their player scouting, their player development, you know, their front office. I mean, it says a lot about the fact that they have these young guys who are contributing sooner rather than later. So Braves start this series. Dylan Dodd's going to get the ball tonight. Obviously, Aaron Nola and the Phillies in town. But this is an interesting four-game set. You know, if the Braves can, you know, really handle their business, maybe take three out of four, sweep, what have you, they could do some damage to the Phillies' hopes and expectations for this season. But if Philadelphia can come in here and win three out of four or sweep or what have you, now all of a sudden we've got a really tight divisional race, right? I mean, all of a sudden now this becomes, okay, you know, we've been pretty comfortable. We've talked about how the fact that the Braves have the biggest division lead in baseball, well, you know, depending on how things go with the Philadelphia Phillies, I mean, that could either stay true and expand or it could, you know, go the other direction. And all of a sudden now you feel like, everybody's in the mix. The Mets, the Phillies, the Marlins. Not the Marlins, but again, they keep hope alive, right, for all you Florida Marlins fans. But certainly Philadelphia and New York, and we thought that they would challenge all season long. So, again, good series tonight. Aaron Nola, Dylan Dodd, that game will get underway here in just a few minutes. So we'll keep up to date about what goes on all night long. Falcons continue their OTAs today. We'll have some news and notes about that in the Falcons flyover coming up at the top of the hour. Some guys trying out some new positions, which is, you know, what you do at this time of the year, right? I mean, you get guys to try something a little bit different and, you know, see what happens with them. So we'll talk about that coming up top of the hour. Interesting that the Georgia-Florida rivalry will stay in Jacksonville for the next couple of seasons. So the annual rivalry game in Jacksonville will be played there in 2024 and 2025. So there's been a lot of speculation about whether or not that game would stay in Jacksonville or if it would move to campuses. Now, it's been there since 1933 with the exception of 94 and 95, and that really did not go Georgia's way, right? That was when they were remodeling the Gator Bowl into whatever that stadium is the Jacksonville Jaguars play in now. What is it? TIAA Bank Field. So
I don't know how anybody keeps up with the name.
I have no idea. I call it the Gator Bowl. Okay. So the remodeled Gator Bowl, right? I think it was the Gator Bowl when it first opened back up with the remodeling. And then, of course, they got the corporate sponsorships and everything like that for it. Shad Khan's team. How about that? Tony's son. Yeah. Tony, the son of, the father of Tony Khan from AEW. But anyway, so they'll meet up October 28th this year. Obviously, always around the holiday, Halloween weekend. But that game will stay in Jacksonville for at least the next couple years, and we'll see what happens after that. Look, I am very much in the minority on this, and we've talked about this a lot on our college football show. Me, myself, Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. You know, those guys are all in favor of doing the game on campus. Me, I'm all about the game being in Jacksonville. I think it's one of the few neutral site games that we get nowadays. You know, obviously, Army-Navy's a great rivalry game that we get in a neutral site. Texas-Oklahoma, the Red River Shootout, right? That's a Cotton Bowl game, right? That's the old Cotton Bowl. They don't play that on campus. They play it during the Texas State Fair. So it's one of the few really good rival games that we get that is on a neutral site. And I love the idea of it being in Jacksonville. I mean, I've never been to Jacksonville for a Georgia-Florida game, but, you know, again, it's a good weekend. You and I, Day-Day, have talked about it. I think Jacksonville Beach is very underrated.
Yeah.
I think Jacksonville Beach is very, very underrated. But that's a good weekend. That's a good weekend come holiday, you know, come Halloween weekend. And I don't know, from a fan's perspective, I like that idea. I like that idea of going down to Jacksonville. Now, again, they've talked about the idea of, well, hey, you know, when we have this game, it's, you know, a recruiting weekend. I don't know, whatever. I mean, they want their money, right? And they make money off the game, but it's different when it's not on campus, right? The money is different when it's not on campus. And that's the thing that they look at. It always comes down to as Joe Pesci said in Goodfellas, Joe Pesci said in Casino, it's always about the dollars. It's always about the dollars, right? That's what it's all about. They can say about recruiting and this and that. It's all about, as Joe Pesci said, it's all about the dollars. It's all about the dollars. It's what it is. So Josh Brooks said in a release, we're pleased with the decision to exercise the option that would keep the game in Jacksonville for 24 and 25. We look forward to discussions that I'm sure will be continuing over the next couple of years, exploring all options for 2026 and beyond. We continue to be appreciative of the working relationship we have with the University of Florida and the city of Jacksonville. So,
why can't they just do like some kind of rotation?
Of what?
Of the game. Maybe give Jacksonville two in a row, but then rotate the next two between Athens and Gainesville, and then go back to Jacksonville for two in a row. Like, I don't know. It's got to be something you can do so everybody feels somewhat happy.
Yeah, but you know what, though? When you do that, when you try to make everybody happy, do you know how many people you make happy? Nobody. Honestly, I mean, that's the reality is when you try to make everybody happy, nobody ends up happy.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You know, stick with either home and home or in Jacksonville. Just draw a line in the sand and say, this is what we're going to do. You don't have to gimmick it. I mean, again, it doesn't have to be Doink the Clown, the Goon, fake razor, right? I mean, we don't need to have rotate. I mean, again, we can have it in Daytona Beach, and we can have it in Jacksonville, and we can have it in Athens and Gainesville, and then we can have it in Cucamonga and, you know, El Segundo. I mean, just, you know, there's no need to gimmick it all up. Just pick one, either on campus or we're in Jacksonville for the foreseeable future.
I'd actually sign up for home and home, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm in the minority. I understand. I am in the vast minority about they want everybody wants that game played on campus. I love the fact that I think one of the cool things about college football is having these neutral site games. And there are fewer and fewer of these games. There are very few of these games anymore, right? I mean, what, these play Alabama, Auburn, Legion Field and all that? I mean, just there's few of these games now that are unique to college football. And that's what I like about college football is I think it's unique. They load up the front end of their schedule. They play these neutral sites. Like, there are certain things about college football that really make it great. And I think that this is one of those things that for me personally, and again, I'm in the minority, but for me personally, this is one of those cool things about, okay, we play the game in Jacksonville. You know, whatever, it's equidistant. I mean, I don't know, maybe Lake City is, you know, more equidistant or whatever like that, but I don't think that they have a 75,000 seat stadium in Lake City, Florida.
Yeah, I don't.
I could be wrong.
No,
you know, or Valdosta.
Sure. Yeah.
Although the high school stadium, some of the,
You can probably get about 20,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably get, you know, 15,000-20,000 for high school football, but that's not necessarily 70,000. So anyway, Heat look to close out tonight as well. We'll see if they wrap this up. They got to get this series done and over with so that everybody can get some rest. All right, Day-Day, I'm going to change things up a little bit.
Okay.
Would you make this trade? I'm going to give you a scenario of a trade for the Atlanta Hawks, and I want to get your thoughts. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Would you do this trade? Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Let's celebrate Father's Day with you. Go to 929thegame.com/contest and register for a chance for you and a guest to join your favorite 929 The Game hosts for a special Father's Day dinner June 13th at Buckhead Butcher Shop. Tell us why you want to join us in celebrating Father's Day this year. Entries close Friday, June 2nd at midnight. We will announce the winners over the week of June 5th. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Your phone line is 404-726-0929. So Bleacher Report put out this article. Dan Favale, F-A-V-A-L-E. Favale, I guess. I don't know. A Bleacher Report. I guess he's our NBA reporter. Talked about one trade that every team should look to make. Oh, by the way, too, we'll talk to Gabe Burns here coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. But they talked about the idea of the Hawks should make a trade for Jaylen Brown. Now, I'm going to read you the trade scenario that they have here, okay? And I want to get your response at 404-726-0929. Now, I'm not saying that the Boston Celtics would do this deal, okay? I'm not telling you that the Boston Celtics would do this deal. But from a realistic money standpoint, things like that, this is the proposed trade. The Hawks would get Jaylen Brown. The Celtics would get John Collins, A.J. Griffin, Jalen Johnson, this year's 15th pick in the first round, and a future number one pick. Collins, Griffin, Johnson, two first-rounders for Jaylen Brown. What do you think about that deal, Day-Day?
I don't like it.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like it on the Hawks side. I love Jaylen Brown, don't get me wrong. But that's a lot. You just gave up, how many second-round picks for DeJounte?
They gave up three first-rounders.
I mean, first-round picks,
yeah.
And then, And then you gave up the second-round picks in the Sadiq Bey trade.
Right.
Like, you're thinner. You're already thin.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's giving up way too much for Jaylen.
I'd do that trade in a second.
Really?
Oh, you kidding me?
John Collins.
Collins, Griffin, Johnson, two first rounders. No, are you kidding me?
I wouldn't give up both Johnson and.
I'm taking on one of the best two-way players in the entirety of the NBA. We're not talking about some mook. I'm talking about a game-changing type of player. That trade instantly makes us a top three team. Because I still got Trey, still got DeJounte, I still got DeAndre Hunter. That trade makes us a top three team instantly.
Quinn's got to really find a way to make that work. Like, I don't know. You're giving up two of your younger pieces too?
Yeah, because I'll have three stars on my team. I got Jaylen Brown, I got Trey Young, I got DeJounte Murray. If I can't figure out a way to build around those guys, and I would still have Bogey, DeAndre Hunter, Capella, Okongwu. If I can't figure out a way to build around that group of guys, then they should move the franchise. They should move the franchise to El Segundo or Rancho Cucamonga. I'll make that deal in a second. Collins, Griffin, Johnson, and two first-rounders for Jaylen Brown. 404-726-0929. And look, it's two of your really good young pieces, right? And obviously, I don't think anybody has trouble moving on from John Collins in this scenario, but it's the idea of, and look, the 15th pick this year is going to be a guy who's going to play in the G League. Like, your first-round pick this year is primed to go play in College Park, as is. So, I don't buy, listen, this is not the NFL. I don't buy into what first-round or second-round NBA draft picks are going to be. I mean, unless you get past, like, number one, two in most drafts. I mean, think about now. We know who the number one pick is going to be in the draft. We have no idea who the second pick is going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be either Scoot or the kid from Alabama.
Alabama, yeah.
So we know the first three, put it that way. Okay. I'll give you the first three. But you're okay. Right. And for the last probably, what, 5 to 10 years, once you get past the fifth pick, it's a crapshoot.
I think once you get past the third pick in the last 10 years.
It's a crapshoot.
I mean, it is. And you're betting on the upside of all these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You're betting on the upside of what these guys are going to be. You know, is Miller a one-and-doner for Alabama?
Yeah.
Brandon Miller? I think he's a one-and-doner, right?
Yeah, Scoot went straight to the G League.
Right.
So, yeah.
And Wembanyama is over in France or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, again, you're betting on the upside for all of this. 404-741-0929 is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. 404-726-0929 is our phone lines. Let's grab Matt out in McDonough. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, bud.
Yeah, 100%, man. No question. I mean, you add another superstar. Well, I don't see DeJounte as a superstar personally, but he's a rising star, I guess. And, yeah, you add another superstar with Trae Young. I mean, what more could you ask for, man? Jalen Johnson hasn't proven anything. AJ Griffin, I mean, 100%, man. Get rid of John Collins. I'd love it.
I appreciate the phone call. Look, let me put it like this, Day-Day. There aren't two of those players in that three-player scenario that are as good as Jaylen Brown. You can't give me any combination of Griffin, Collins, and Johnson that are better than Jaylen Brown. And I'll figure out, listen, we looked at Miami years ago, right, when they had Juwan Howard on their bench, right? They just had to literally round out their roster. I'll just figure out the rest of my roster. But I still have Capella, Okongwu, Hunter, DeJounte, Trey, Jaylen Brown. Now, look, Jaylen Brown's a $31 million player, and you might be playing with fire. Because if you're not going to give him the Supermax extension, then there's no reason to do this deal. You're going to have to offer him, listen to me, the Supermax. That's 290. His Supermax is 290 right now. So if we're not going to get in bed with, oh, we can't be over the luxury tax, well, then you're not going to get a better team. Then you're not going to step up in the unless you just on the cheap can get the luckiest of the luckies of all time and just win with guys that aren't making any money. But you're going to have to get into this, in this luxury tax. I don't know if they will. I'm not convinced that they're going to get in the luxury tax, even this year. I would tell you, if I had to bet money on it, I would bet that they still find a way to move pieces and get on the luxury tax. Even at the trade deadline for getting Sadiq Bey, they picked up salary cap space. Right? Like, they picked up salary cap space at the trade deadline. That was one of the reasons they made those moves, is because they saved money. Let's go to Tony out in McDonough. What's going on, Tony? Hey,
yes,
Tony.
Sir.
What's up, buddy?
Hey. Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about their trade at first. I was like, the two first rounders. But you know what? The first rounders, depending on how good we are, they could be later on in the round. So, that might be okay. I wish they would take DeAndre Hunter over Griffin, because I believe Griffin has a lot of upside. But you're right. I think the way things are going, I might have to take that trade.
I appreciate the phone call. I mean, I don't. And it would be this year's 15th pick. So, again, that's a guy going to the G League. On this roster as it is, for us, that guy's going to play in College Park. So what's he going to contribute? And you give up one other future first rounder? Okay, I'll give up another future first rounder. If I'm picking 10, 15, 18, whatever, okay, I'll give that pick up. And let me just say, you know, we haven't exactly been the model for drafting over the last handful of years. I mean, Collins was probably a surprising draft pick. I mean, Trey was pretty much a no-brainer about making that trade for Luka. But, I mean, has Hunter really worked out? I mean, certainly a long way to go, but certainly the early returns on Hunter are a very mixed bag. Cam Reddish didn't work out. You know, it's you know, Jalen Johnson, I mean, he's been all right, but it's been nothing to write home about. It isn't like we've drafted LeBron or Dwayne Wade or somebody like that. You know, we've drafted guys that are kind of middling players right now on this roster. And I just think that if you can get an established star to put with this group, with DeJounte, Trae Young, and you still got Capella and Hunter and some of these guys, whew, I'll do that trade all day long. Let's grab up Brandon out in Kennesaw. What's going on, Brandon?
What's going on, Chuck? Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Hey, man, I say come on with it, bro. I mean, give up three really, I don't want to say nobody's, but three people that haven't really done anything in the league, and for two draft picks that, like you said, the NBA draft, I mean, besides the top three, you don't know what you're getting. So I say come on with it, baby. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, look, Day-Day, we're trading for a second-team all-NBA player.
I know.
Second-team all You don't get your hands on those kinds of guys very often in their prime.
I know, but it's that money aspect that you talked about. You're going to give up a lot, and then if it doesn't, ugh.
But that's the. But again, if you're going to get where you need to be, you have to do these things. Like we have to change something. You know, there has to be some kind of sea change about this team.
Yeah,
like this team is. This team as is, it's not just coaching. I mean, I don't know how many ways I can explain this to people, but you see the results. It's not just coaching for this team. It's not just, well, we've got Quinn Snyder, and now we got rid of Nate, and we have Quinn Snyder, and everything's going to be good. Okay, they were 10-11 for Quinn Snyder. They didn't even get that bump or that boost where it's like, oh, okay, we can be really good now. No, I mean, they didn't. They were a fledgling team. And the Miami game was really good, and the Boston series was just, you know, ugh. You know? Again, can we play with those teams? Sure. But, again, we don't show that enough. We don't show that enough in these things. I mean, and you're getting a chance to get a second-team all-NBA player. That's you don't get those guys very often. All right, let's grab Owen out in Southwest Atlanta. What's going on, Owen?
Hey, what's going on, man? I would love that trade, but my thing, I want Jalen here anyway. I don't really think he want to be in Boston no more. But I would love that trade. But the thing of it is, I want to ask you, the question is, we're trying to see if Trey can play with DeJounte. We're going to be able to play, if we get Jalen in here, how are we going to be able to play Jalen and DeJounte too? We got to think about that too.
I'll play him at the small, appreciate it. I'll play him at the small forward. You know what? If I've got my hands on a second team All-NBA player, I'll play him at small forward and I'll figure it all out.
And that's what I was saying earlier, that's a lot to figure out.
But that's what Quinn Snyder's getting paid $8 million a year for, Day-Day.
But
that's again, he's getting paid like guys that have won NBA championship coaches. You got to figure it out.
But you,
I'm giving you the talent, you have to figure it out.
But you'd almost be better off putting DeJounte in the trade and just working with Jalen and Trey.
Giving up DeJounte Murray if I don't have to. I'm gonna play that backcourt and put Jaylen Brown at the small forward, and we're gonna figure it out. I've got one of the best offense. You can't sell me on the fact that we have one of the best offensive minds in this, than the other, and then say, well, I don't know if Jaylen Brown fits. Are you kidding me? Second team All NBA player doesn't fit with us, huh? What? Oh, because we're just so plethora full of talent. Like, we just have a plethora of guys that just light up the NBA while I'm watching John Collins average 13 a game. Watching DeAndre Hunter go for 25 one night, 4 the next. We got to get good. I got a $48 million player on my roster, and I got Ham and Eggers around him. I'm not going anywhere with Ham and Eggers and a goat cheese omelet. Not going anywhere with that. And we've seen the results. Doesn't matter if you change coaches. Doesn't matter if you go to play-ins. Doesn't matter. Into all these other things. Falderalt. Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't go anywhere. We don't do anything. We just lose the first round. Play a play-in game. Lose the first round. Okay. And then I got to sit through 8 months of basketball just to Falderalt or just muck it all up. Just go through the muck and the mire of everything. No thanks. All right, Gabe Burns, when we come back, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Now to the Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery's show, live on this Thursday evening with you. There's a lot of things happening. Falcons are in OTA. Braves with a good win last night against the Dodgers. Now open up a big series against Philadelphia. Hawks, obviously. We're trying to figure out what the offseason is going to bring. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Gabe Burns. He's the sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. And he's on Twitter at Gabe Burns AJC. Gabe, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes with us tonight.
Absolutely. Always happy to come on.
Well, you know, I don't want to put too much into one particular game, but it did feel like last night was a game that the Braves really needed to win. I mean, obviously there's been struggles in the regular season the last couple of years against the Dodgers. Bryce Elder was really good last night, but that felt like a game that they just needed to kind of get off the schneid heading into this Philadelphia series.
You know, that's exactly what I told somebody right after it ended. I was like, man, they really needed that one. And I'm the king of kind of downplaying baseball in May, honestly. There's just not a lot of benefit to freaking out one way or another typically. But it did feel, you know, when Ozzie hits that sac fly, it did feel like a relief, right? And we know there's a strong history between these two clubs. And outside of the Braves getting them in 21, I mean, this team has really had a ton of success against the Braves. And there's not many teams who could say that since 2018. So it did feel, again, like, look, they had what I considered the worst series they've played in years in Toronto. And then they bounced back against Texas and Seattle, who we know are two good teams. This series, though, it felt like a letdown. You know, when you have Stone and Miller there, this felt like a series that you should have taken 2 out of 3. But the fact you weren't swept, you could just tell, even in just seeing the celebration last night, it really did. It felt like just a sigh of relief.
You know, Gabe, I think this is a big series starting with Philadelphia for this next 4 games. I mean, if you can take 3 out of 4, you really put a gut punch into Philadelphia, and they start to get, you know, pretty far behind. I mean, considering that you have to overcome 3 teams if you're going to win the division. But if Philadelphia can come in here and maybe take 3 out of 4, all of a sudden this gets to be a tight division race. It just feels like that this – I don't want to say it's going to define the season or anything like that. I mean, I'm not trying to be over the top. But there really does feel like this could be a swing series for these two clubs, you know, depending on which way this thing goes.
It's an important one. And I will say – when we look back on last year, there were several series against the Mets that we kind of pinpointed as, you know, this one's important for one or the other. And obviously, those two teams kind of traded blows, and then there at the very end, the Braves wound up winning it. But So you don't know how things are going to progress. But for where we are right now, this does feel big. And it's a heck of an opportunity for the Braves to really kind of just keep pushing the Phillies back, because I think the assumption that we're all making, and this might not come to fruition, but we're all making an assumption that this Phillies team is going to really wake up at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hit their stride. They're going to come. And at that point, it's just a matter of, you know, are the Braves going to be 8 or 9 games up at that point? Or is this going to be a 4 or 5 game difference where the Phillies can really close? So that, when we're talking about, when I'm on here again in August and September and we're talking about all this, you know, these games do, they have a big effect. And the Phillies just, they have not played their best, nowhere close to it. I think we know the player Trey Turner is, certainly Braves fans know, with all the damage he's done to them over the years. And he has not been that guy yet. So there's a lot of things that haven't clicked for them. We're assuming eventually it will. But this is a big weekend as far as, yeah, can Philadelphia kind of keep this thing close and not, you know, let it get off the rails? And for the Braves, it's an opportunity to just keep pushing them further back. So if that run does come, they'll have some breathing room.
Gabe Burns on the WaitForIt.com hotline, sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here. You know, Michael Soroka had arguably maybe his most important minor league start that he's had over these last couple of seasons. And again, I'm not so much worried about, you know, how quickly he's going to come up, but do you get the sense that the timetable is starting to move up to where he may be available sooner than later?
It certainly looks and feels that way. And I say that with an abundance of caution, like anyone would, and the Braves would as well. And Michael, same thing. Given the way that this saga has progressed, you can't say anything with too much confidence. But there's been a lot of encouraging signs with him. He's really been able to get his, you know, kind of, pardon the cliche, but get his work in down there and just build himself back up. And this team was not going to rush him. I know even when they were in Toronto, I know, you know, when they had a vacant spot open for a starter, then a lot of people were like, oh, well, could Soroka, you know, wouldn't that be a great story if he came back and it was in Canada? And, yeah, I mean, of course that would have been a great story, but they're not under any pressure to rush him. And just given however, you have to be so careful with this guy, it seems like we're at the point that he's almost there. And, you know, again, things can change, but it does feel like we're not that far away from finally seeing him again. I would certainly say don't go in with any kind of sizable expectations, because I just don't think that's fair at this point, because we simply do not know what he's going to provide. We know what he provided before the injury, and the fact that he's even going to be back out there at all will be a remarkable story. But, I mean, look, if he can come and just be a steady guy who can cover some innings and give this team a shot, given, you know, the state of their rotation and what they've been dealing with, that'd be a huge win.
How funny was it to see Freddie and Jason Hayward teammates again?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't that feel like it was so long ago?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it's amazing the two paths those guys took. You know, we all thought that Hayward was going to be the one that kind of had Freddie's career here, right? And to see the way that, you know, those two careers have gone, it's been really fascinating. And look, they're both really good guys, and we'll see. You know, are the Braves going to see them in October? That'd be a pretty big story, but we got a lot of time until we're there.
Let's bounce around a little bit. Falcons obviously in their OTAs, and you know, a lot of optimism right now. I mean, I was reading an article on NFL.com that the Falcons are the team that a lot of folks are jumping on the bandwagon for, that they feel like they can win the NFC South and could be one of the better teams and certainly a playoff team this upcoming season. I've said, Gabe, that I really think that the first thing I'm going to look at is, they have to be, with all of the weapons they have on offense, they need to be an elite red zone team, that they need to be a 67% touchdown ratio red zone type of team. Offensively, how do you see this team performing? There certainly is a lot of weapons, and Desmond Ridder is going to have a lot of things to, you know, listen, hand off, throw to. I mean, he's got a whole plethora of people that he's got behind him.
I completely agree, because when you look at especially the size that they have, there's no excuse. And when you have Algier and Robinson as well, there's no excuse. You have to be a great red zone team. And the way that this team is going to play stylistically, the reality is you're going to be in a lot of close games. You know, when you're emphasizing running the ball, and I mean, they're going to play a lot of close games. So red zone efficiency is going to be paramount. So London, Pitts, I mean, we know the names. I think the story's really simple. You're going to find out if Ritter's your guy. And that's, I mean, everything else is great. There's plenty of reason for optimism. There's lots of sexy fantasy football talk with this team. The defense should be much improved. But, I mean, they've set Ritter up here, and it's a great thing for him, and it's a good thing for the franchise because they're going to take a look at this. And if it doesn't happen, they'll be able to pivot, and the next guy is going to have plenty to work with as well. So, I mean, you nailed it. Or he's going to have a lot to work with. And the red zone efficiency, how they perform there, I mean, no, it's not hyperbole. That's it. That's their season right there because, again, this team, just the way that they're built and the way they play, they're going to be in a lot of close games.
And I'll tell you, Gabe, you know, when you look at their schedule, it is obviously a last-place schedule, but they're, besides the Falcons themselves, the whole division and most of the teams that they play, there are so many questions. I mean, again, we don't know what Jordan Love and the Packers are going to look like. I know they've got players, but are they going to be the same as they were under Aaron? I mean, you know, Arizona is one of the worst rosters in the NFL, but anytime you go out west to try to play that team, they could be pretty good. You know, they obviously the division is just a jumbled mess right now. Like, when you look at their schedule, there's just so many questions about, okay, who could be good? Who may not be good? I mean, I don't really have a handle on how many good teams that there really are on the Falcons' schedule this year.
And you know what is so funny about that is there are shows all across America in the NFC saying this exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the conference, I mean, there's really – you feel good about the Eagles, you feel good about Dallas, and you feel good about San Francisco, their quarterback situation notwithstanding. But, I mean, I don't think anyone would be shocked if, like, Seattle took a step back after, you know, a surprising year. Same thing for the Giants. They surprised last year. Sometimes these teams take a step back. There's not really much to feel great about. And for a team like the Falcons that is theoretically moving up with all the moves they made, that's great news. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for a lot of teams. Like, Arizona's got the worst roster in the league by far. But you're right. You know, you don't know. You're going out there. You just don't know. And then in the NFC South, my rule with this stuff is that these bad divisions sometimes, they don't stay that way. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these teams wins 10, the other wins 9. Like, it's going to be better than it was a year ago. And you look around the NFC, I mean, there's going to have to be a couple of surprise teams. And I don't even know if the Falcons would be fairly considered a surprise team at this point because of the buzz and because of what they've done. But they're certainly in great position to be one of those that jumps from out of the mix into the playoffs.
So I have said repeatedly on my show that there are two questions that I want to ask Tony Ressler. I want to sit down and put the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around him for two questions. Number one is, are we going in the luxury tax this year? I know all the hyperbole about when it's right, when it's proper, this, that, and the other. Okay, I know the talking points, but are we going in the luxury tax this year? Because currently the roster is in the luxury tax as it stands right now. That's the first question. And then what is Quinn Snyder's pecking order as far as player personnel goes? That's the two questions I have for Tony Ressler. How do you think you answer those two questions?
Well, as far as the luxury tax goes, you just said, you know, oh, when the time is right. I'll ask, if the time is not right now, when exactly is the time right? And I know that people would go, oh, well, this team is not a, you know, they're not a top three seed, they're not a favorite. But in order to get there, you're gonna have to be in the tax.
Yep.
Especially with what you've already invested in this team, you're gonna have to pay. You're either paying Murray, or if something's not going to work out, then you're moving parts, and whoever it is that's going to help you get to that next level, you're paying them as well. If that's multiple players, if that's another player, whatever it is, the reality is you're not going to the finals and ducking the luxury tax in most instances, barring something very rare, and that's not going to happen here because you already have, obviously, Trey Young's contract, and if you do wind up paying DeJounte. So the reality is, if this team is going to eventually break through, they're just going to have to pay the tax. And whatever the roster looks like, that's just the reality of it. So that's going to happen. It's going to have to happen this year. And if you're going to maintain this team, if you're going to have sustained success, then you're going to have to do it there as well. And as far as the players go, it seems like Quinn and Trae Young have been a nice fit so far. Mm-hmm. So as far as talking about all of the trade rumors, frankly, I know that there was the report out there the other day about the Lakers. I mean, I'm sure the Lakers are looking at everybody, whatever. That has nothing to do with what the Hawks want to do. So right now, I think it behooves you to just stick with Trae, roll into this next season and see. But the big question, it's DeJounte, and it's going to be, you know, if he's going to be a guy that sticks here long term. And that's not going to be a question that we have a quick answer for. I will say, I feel like I said this last offseason, I feel like this is the offseason that John Collins has finally moved. But frankly, I mean, I feel like 2 years from now, I could be on here and we could still be talking about John Collins getting moved, right?
So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm with you because, I mean, again, at some point that, you know, the smoke becomes fire at some point. I mean, it just, you can't keep having this smoke on the fire and not get a flame for it. So we'll see what happens. You can check out all of his work at AJC.com, sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Gabe Burns joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline at Gabe Burns AJC on Twitter. Gabe, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes tonight. We will talk again here soon.
Yeah, sure thing.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery's show live on this Thursday evening with you. As a lot of things happening. Falcons are in OTA. Braves with a good win last night against the Dodgers. Now open up a big series against Philadelphia. Hawks, obviously. We're trying to figure out what the offseason is going to bring. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Gabe Burns. He's the sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. And he's on Twitter at Gabe Burns AJC. Gabe, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes with us tonight.
Absolutely. Always happy to come on.
Well, you know, I don't want to put too much into one particular game, but it did feel like last night was a game that the Braves really needed to win. I mean, obviously there's been struggles in the regular season the last couple of years against the Dodgers. Bryce Elder was really good last night, but that felt like a game that they just needed to kind of get off the schneid heading into this Philadelphia series.
You know, that's exactly what I told somebody right after it ended. I was like, man, they really needed that one. And I'm the king of kind of downplaying baseball in May, honestly. There's just not a lot of benefit to freaking out one way or another typically. But it did feel, you know, when Ozzie hits that sac fly, it did feel like a relief, right? And we know there's a strong history between these two clubs. And outside of the Braves getting them in 21, I mean, this team has really had a ton of success against the Braves. And there's not many teams who could say that since 2018. So it did feel, again, like, look, they had what I considered the worst series they've played in years in Toronto. And then they bounced back against Texas and Seattle, who we know are two good teams. This series, though, it felt like a letdown. You know, when you have Stone and Miller there, this felt like a series that you should have taken 2 out of 3, but the fact you weren't swept, you could just tell, even in just seeing the celebration last night, it really did. It felt like just a sigh of relief.
You know, Gabe, I think this is a big series starting with Philadelphia for this next 4 games. I mean, if you can take 3 out of 4, you really put a gut punch into Philadelphia, and they start to get, you know, pretty far behind. I mean, considering that you have to overcome 3 teams if you're going to win the division. But if Philadelphia can come in here and maybe take 3 out of 4, all of a sudden this gets to be a tight division race. It just feels like that this, I don't want to say it's going to define the season or anything like that. I mean, I'm not trying to be over the top, but there really does feel like this could be a swing series for these two clubs, you know, depending on which way this thing goes.
It's an important one. And I will say, when we look back on last year, there were several series against the Mets that we kind of pinpointed as, you know, this one's important for one or the other. And obviously those two teams kind of traded blows, and there at the very end, the Braves wound up winning it. But so you don't know how things are going to progress, but for where we are right now, this does feel big. And it's a heck of an opportunity for the Braves to really kind of just keep pushing the Phillies back, because I think the assumption that we're all making, and this might not come to fruition, but we're all making an assumption that this Phillies team is going to really wake up at some point, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to hit their stride. They're going to come. And at that point, it's just a matter of, you know, are the Braves going to be 8 or 9 games up at that point? Or is this going to be a 4 or 5 game difference where the Phillies can really close? So that when we're talking about, when I'm on here again in August and September and we're talking about all this, you know, these games they have a big effect. And the Phillies they have not played their best, nowhere close to it. I think we know the player Trey Turner is, certainly Braves fans know, with all the damage he's done to them over the years. And he has not been that guy yet. So there's a lot of things that haven't clicked for them. We're assuming eventually it will. But this is a big weekend as far as, yeah, can Philadelphia kind of keep this thing close and not, you know, let it get off the rails? And for the Braves, it's an opportunity to just keep pushing them further back. So if that run does come, they'll have some breathing room.
Gabe Burns on the WadeFord.com hotline, sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here. You know, Michael Soroka had arguably maybe his most important minor league start that he's had over these last couple of seasons. And again, I'm not so much worried about, you know, how quickly he's going to come up, but do you get the sense that the timetable is starting to move up to where he may be available sooner than later?
It certainly looks and feels that way. And I say that with an abundance of caution, like anyone would, and the Braves would as well. And Michael, same thing. Given the way that this saga has progressed, you can't say anything with too much confidence. But there's been a lot of encouraging signs with him. He's really been able to get his, you know, kind of, pardon the cliche, but get his work in down there and just build himself back up. And this team was not going to rush him. I know even when they were in Toronto, I know, you know, when they had a vacant spot open for a starter, then a lot of people were like, oh, well, could Soroka, you know, wouldn't that be a great story if he came back and it was in Canada? And, yeah, I mean, of course that would have been a great story, but they're not under any pressure to rush him. And just given however you have to be so careful with this guy, it seems like we're at the point that he's almost there. And you know, again, things can change, but it does feel like we're not that far away from finally seeing him again. I would certainly say don't go in with any kind of sizable expectations, because I just don't think that's fair at this point, because we simply do not know what he's going to provide. We know what he provided before the injury, and the fact that he's even going to be back out there at all will be a remarkable story. But, I mean, look, if he can come and just be a steady guy who can cover some innings and give this team a shot, given, you know, the state of their rotation and what they've been dealing with, that'd be a huge win.
How funny was it to see Freddie and Jason Hayward teammates again?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't that feel like it was so long ago?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it's amazing the two paths those guys took. You know, we all thought that Hayward was going to be the one that kind of had Freddie's career here, right? And to see the way that, you know, those two careers have gone, it's been really fascinating. And look, they're both really good guys, and we'll see. You know, are the Braves going to see them in October? That'd be a pretty big story, but we got a lot of time until we're there.
Let's bounce around a little bit. Falcons obviously in their OTAs, and you know, a lot of optimism right now. I mean, I was reading an article on NFL.com that the Falcons are the team that a lot of folks are jumping on the bandwagon for, that they feel like they can win the NFC South and could be one of the better teams and certainly a playoff team this upcoming season. I've said, Gabe, that I really think that the first thing I'm going to look at is, they have to be, with all of the weapons they have on offense, they need to be an elite red zone team, that they need to be a 67% touchdown ratio red zone type of team. Offensively, how do you see this team performing? There certainly is a lot of weapons, and Desmond Ridder is going to have a lot of things to, you know, listen, hand off, throw to. I mean, he's got a whole plethora of people that he's got behind him.
I completely agree, because when you look at especially the size that they have, there's no excuse. And when you have Algier and Robinson as well, there's no excuse. You have to be a great red zone team. And the way that this team is going to play stylistically, the reality is you're going to be in a lot of close games. You know, when you're emphasizing running the ball, and I mean, they're going to play a lot of close games. So red zone efficiency is going to be paramount. So London, Pitts, I mean, we know the names. I think the story's really simple. You're going to find out if Ridder's your guy. And that's, I mean, everything else is great. There's plenty of reason for optimism. There's lots of sexy fantasy football talk with this team. The defense should be much improved. But, I mean, they've set Ridder up here, and it's a great thing for him, and it's a good thing for the franchise, because they're going to take a look at this. And if it doesn't happen, they'll be able to pivot, and the next guy is going to have plenty to work with as well. So, I mean, you nailed it. Or he's going to have a lot to work with. And the red zone efficiency, how they perform there, I mean, no, it's not hyperbole. That's it. That's their season right there. Because, again, this team, just the way that they're built and the way they play, they're going to be in a lot of close games.
And I'll tell you, Gabe, you know, when you look at their schedule, it is obviously a last-place schedule. But they're, besides the Falcons themselves, the whole division, and most of the teams that they play, there are so many questions. I mean, again, we don't know what Jordan Love and the Packers are going to look like. I know they've got players, but are they going to be the same as they were under Aaron? I mean, you know, Arizona is one of the worst rosters in the NFL, but anytime you go out west to try to play that team, they could be pretty good. You know, they obviously the division is just a jumbled mess right now. Like, when you look at their schedule, there's just so many questions about, okay, who could be good? Who may not be good? I mean, I don't really have a handle on how many good teams that there really are on the Falcons' schedule this year.
And you know what is so funny about that is there are shows all across America in the NFC saying this exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the conference, I mean, there's really – you feel good about the Eagles, you feel good about Dallas – and you feel good about San Francisco, their quarterback situation notwithstanding. But, I mean, I don't think anyone would be shocked if, like, Seattle took a step back after, you know, a surprising year. Same thing for the Giants. They surprised last year. Sometimes these teams take a step back. There's not really much to feel great about. And for a team like the Falcons that is theoretically moving up with all the moves they made, that's great news. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for a lot of teams. Like, Arizona's got the worst roster in the league by far. But you're right. You know, you don't know. You're going out there. You just don't know. And then in the NFC South, my rule with this stuff is that these bad divisions sometimes they don't stay that way. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these teams wins 10, the other wins 9. Like, it's going to be better than it was a year ago. And you look around the NFC, I mean, there's going to have to be a couple of surprise teams. And I don't even know if the Falcons would be fairly considered a surprise team at this point because of the buzz and because of what they've done, but they're certainly in great position to be one of those that jumps from out of the mix into the playoffs.
So I have said repeatedly on my show that there are two questions that I want to ask Tony Ressler. I want to sit down and put the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around him for two questions. Number one is, are we going in the luxury tax this year? I know all the hyperbole about when it's right, when it's proper, this, that, and the other. Okay, I know the talking points, but are we going in the luxury tax this year? Because currently the roster is in the luxury tax as it stands right now. That's the first question. And then, what is Quinn Snyder's pecking order as far as player personnel goes? That's the two questions I have for Tony Ressler. How do you think you answer those two questions?
Well, as far as the luxury tax goes, you just said, you know, oh, when the time is right. I'll ask, if the time is not right now, when exactly is the time right? And I know that people would go, oh, well, this team is not a, you know, they're not a top three seed, they're not a favorite. But in order to get there, you're gonna have to be in the tax.
Yep.
Especially with what you've already invested in this team, you're gonna have to pay. You're either paying Murray, or if something's not going to work out, then you're moving parts, and whoever it is that's going to help you get to that next level, you're paying them as well. If that's multiple players, if that's another player, whatever it is, the reality is you're not going to the finals and ducking the luxury tax in most instances, barring something very rare, and that's not going to happen here because you already have, obviously, Trae Young's contract, and if you do wind up paying DeJounte. So the reality is, if this team is going to eventually break through, they're just going to have to pay the tax. And whatever the roster looks like, that's just the reality of it. So that's going to happen. It's going to have to happen this year, and if you're going to maintain this team, if you're going to have sustained success, then you're going to have to do it there as well. And as far as the players go, it seems like Quinn and Trae Young have been a nice fit so far. Mm-hmm. So as far as talking about all of the trade rumors, frankly, I know that there was the report out there the other day about the Lakers. I mean, I'm sure the Lakers are looking at everybody, whatever. That has nothing to do with what the Hawks want to do. So right now, I think it behooves you to just stick with Trae, roll into this next season and see. But the big question, it's DeJounte, and it's going to be, you know, if he's going to be a guy that sticks here long term. And that's not going to be a question that we have a quick answer for. I will say, I feel like, I said this last offseason, I feel like this is the offseason that John Collins has finally moved. But frankly, I mean, I feel like 2 years from now, I could be on here and we could still be talking about John Collins getting moved, right?
So, yeah, I'm with you because, I mean, again, at some point that, you know, the smoke becomes fire at some point. I mean, it just, you can't keep having this smoke on the fire and not get a flame for it. So we'll see what happens. You can check out all of his work at AJC.com, sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Gabe Burns joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline at Gabe Burns AJC on Twitter. Gabe, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes tonight. We will talk again here soon.
Yeah, sure thing.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.